Hello, everyone. Well, I hope you like learning how to save money, because I'm here to talk about Windows Multipoint Server 2012. It's a great way to reduce your hardware costs. I'm Mike Garns. I'm a program manager with the Multipoint team based in Redmond, Washington. And with me, I have Karol Klobowski. He's our first MVP for Multipoint. He's deployed Multipoint in a school in the Czech Republic. And I thought it'd be a good idea to have him come up, talk a little bit about his experiences with Multipoint, some tips and techniques that he has had deploying it at the school, and kind of give you a hands-on experience. Before I get started, could I get an idea of how many people have heard of Multipoint prior to Tech Ed here? Okay, so just a few of you. And how many people are actually running Multipoint right now in their schools? Anybody? Okay, that will help me on how far I should dig into things. Multipoint has a kind of an interesting history. It started in a group, an incubation group in Redmond that was called the Unlimited Potential Group. And the charter of that group was to figure out how to bring computing to the next 5 billion people out in the world. So at the time, the population of the world was about 7 billion people. Of that, about 6 billion were of the age that can use computers. And only a billion people are using those computers. And that the team was chartered with figuring out how can we get that next 5 billion people to actually use computers and get computing to the world. And an obvious way to solve this problem is that if we could take a computer and rather than just having one person use it, if we could have multiple people using it. So there was a lot of kind of incubation projects, a lot of things done in shared resource computing. And it kind of takes things back to, I guess, the start of the computing age where you had a mainframe and you had multiple people using that computer. And today, a lot of computers are powerful enough that they're not really fully utilized. So, you know, why not have multiple people use those computers? So from that start in that UPG group, we launched WMS 2010, so it was just a new product. We're only 2 years in the market, and it was geared towards education markets in emerging world, in the emerging markets, and it received a great reception, especially in the newly developed countries. And from that, we went on to our next version, WMS 2011. But as part of the feedback that we got when we rolled out 2010, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, this is great, but why is it only limited for education? There's a lot of situations where you have a kiosk type scenario where there might be a bunch of postal clerks going and, you know, working on their own computer. Instead of having one computer in front of each one of those workers, why not just have one computer shared across those multiple clerks using that. So with 2011, we have changed the licensing term, and now Multipoint Server is available beyond the education market. We're seeing a lot of interest in VARs and VAPs who deal with small businesses. So for instance, dental offices, accounting offices, any place where you have kind of a cluster of people working with a computer one-to-one, Multipoint is a great solution to consider. What I'm going to be showing here today is Multipoint Server 2012. So it's not yet released. It's actually not officially announced. We haven't put anything on our blog sites. We plan on going beta in July, but I'm going to give you a kind of a sneak peek about some of the new features that are coming in Server 2012. So this is kind of the evolution that I talked about. Our original market was the emerging market. And here's a school based in Uganda, one-room schoolroom, computer. Multipoint is driving multiple stations. And what we've seen is kind of an evolution from that original target market to more developed markets, especially here in Europe and in the US. We're seeing a lot of interest from people who are professionals like yourselves who understand IT and are deploying Multipoint across the classroom, kind of in a more sophisticated environment, as opposed to kind of the rural isolated target market that we initially started with MultiPoint. So when we started the project, we did a bunch of studies and a bunch of research and decided, we had to decide where we were going to focus. What was the main things that we're going to focus on and solve? And I'm just wondering, out there in the audience, what do you think the biggest impediments to getting computers in schools were? Just shout out anything that comes to mind. Money, yeah. Well, money was number one. That's kind of, I guess, everywhere. The biggest thing that we had was costs. And, of course, MultiPoint allows you to share that one computer so you can go and reduce those costs. But surprisingly, and a lot of this came from the initial focus that we had, was energy costs. And particularly in emerging markets, it's not just the cost, it's the reliability of the energy as well. And instead of having one computer drawing all that power and all those watts, if you can have one computer and just have the monitors, a lot of these LCD monitors have very low power draw. And in a lot of places where it's not really technically possible to run, let's say, 6 or 10 computers in this remote school, they're able to put a multipoint station in there and have 10 computers being run simultaneously. We have a lot of work that's going on in Haiti. After the earthquake there, just about all the schools were destroyed. They're being rebuilt with the Clinton Initiative. And what they decided to standardize on was putting MultiPoint in those schools that were destroyed. And the main reason, cost is an obvious factor, but the main thing that allowed them to get the schools equipped and get the computer labs back up and running was the fact that they could save on the power. And the cost of running the diesel generators, they had some solar, the MultiPoint systems paid for themselves within 6 months of having that out there. And then the last point, and you'll see when I give you a demonstration of some of the tools that we've included with MultiPoint, a lot of teachers didn't have the technical skills to actually go and understand what they're doing. They're teachers, their job is to teach, they don't have the IT skills. We wanted to make things very, very easy for them to go and use. So we talked about saving costs. Any one of these numbers would be great. If you had a IT budget of $1 million, you save 10%. That's $100,000 you could pay for your teacher. What we're finding is that the typical multipoint installation is actually saving way more than that. It's actually about 66%. We have a study that was done by Forrester that I'll talk a little bit about. That's up on our website that goes into detail. I think it's about 10 or 20 pages that breaks down how you can get the cost savings. And the obvious thing is the hardware savings. So instead of buying one computer for each student, let's say it's a $300, $400 low-end PC, what you can do is you can buy a little bit more powerful PC, let's say a $500 or $600 PC, and then have 7 to 10 students using that one PC. Of course, you're still going to need to have monitors and keyboards and mice for all of those, but you're not paying that $300 or $400 for each one of those stations. So that's where you get most of your savings, at least on the upfront savings on the hardware. Talked a little bit about energy. I think Carl might talk a little bit when he talks about it as well. I know that we have a video that shows his school, and I believe they had significant energy savings. And this is, I guess I'm spoiled being in Redmond. We have a lot of hydroelectric power. It's very cheap, and we don't really think about energy, but I know it's different in other parts of the world. You'll get a lot of energy savings as well. There's two parts in the study that I think are not that typical. I'll talk to them. I'll show what the study found. The study said, you'll save a lot on maintenance. The figure they came up with was 99%. I think that's way too high. You're not going to save that much, I think, in the typical installation. But you are going to save stuff in terms of maintenance and support, because now, instead of supporting, let's say you have 6 computers, you have to patch all 6, you have to install software on all 6, you're just doing it on one computer. So you are going to get some savings. I just don't think it's going to be as high as what the study showed. And then the second thing is, you notice that it's actually a negative 64%. And they said their software costs actually went up a little bit. And that's because they had some different licensing terms on the software that they were using when they were using with Multipoint, and they had to pay a little bit more for that software. In general, just a good guideline is that the software cost should be roughly the same. You're not going to be saving on software with Multipoint. At least from a Microsoft point of view, the licensing, we try to be neutral between if you were running Windows licenses versus Multipoint stations. Certainly for things like Office, we require a CAL or a client access license for each one of those stations that are running. And I think most of the companies do the same. So we were a little surprised to see that the software costs actually went up. Like I say, if you do a wash between the maintenance being, I think, too cheap and the software being a little bit more expensive, it's a wash, and you're still going to save a fair amount. Another way to look at this is, 66%, that's a nice number. People don't fully realize what that means. Does anybody know what the typical student to PC ratio is in Europe? Any ideas? In the US, we have 4 students to every PC. In the emerging markets, it's typically about 44 students to every PC. And if you look at what you can do, if you have a set computer budget, and in this example, it was $50,000. I know that you're not going to have $1,000 for the PC, but by the time you add in support and installing all that, let's just use that figure. You could get 43 computers there. But if you're using Multipoint, you can now get 127. So in the US at least, you're getting pretty close to having that one-to-one student ratio, student-to-PC ratio, that a lot of school districts are striving for. And it's a great way to get more computing power to your customers. So Multipoint, what is it? We talked about one computer, multiple desktops. So with Server 2012, everything is going to be based on Windows Server 8 desktops. So the client experience that they're going to be getting is not Server. It's looks and feels like the Server 8 desktop. And we're built on Server 2012, and we make use of remote desktop services and Hyper-V. I'm sure a lot of you guys are probably familiar with remote desktop. And I'll try to talk a little bit conceptually how it works and how it is different. So with Multipoint, we have the concept of stations. And a station you can think of as being a monitor, keyboard, and mouse. And that's what each student is using. And what we do is that when you bring up a Multipoint computer that has multiple monitors on there, we bring up a new process that we call SRC shell, or in 2012 it's the WMS shell. And this shell process carves up each one of those monitors so that instead of having an extended desktop where if you move your mouse it goes from screen to screen to screen, we have it so that each one of those screens is going to be its own local remote desktop connection. And we have within that process there, so it's not the normal shell process that's running, we have an ActiveX control that is basically having an RDP session from that one monitor back to the local computer. Now, remote desktop, the way it works is that the server figures out what needs to be drawn, and using the RDP protocol, it's sent across the wire to thin client, and the thin client draws it on the screen, and then the thin client that's sitting at the remote location sees what the server has rendered. With Multipoint, we do things a little differently. Instead of going across the actual Ethernet connection, we have a local loopback, and within that SRC shell process, we're basically pointing back that ActiveX control that has that RDP session directly onto that host computer without going out in the network. In 2012, we've done further optimization. So instead of using the RDP protocol to get what's being rendered on that screen, we're actually using essentially a frame buffer that has that contents that's going to be displayed for that student already rendered in memory, and we just pass it off and draw it on each one of those monitors. So that's what we say in terms of being based on remote desktop. In 2012, we also support Hyper-V, and I'll talk a little bit about that later on and how it can solve some of the issues that we saw with earlier versions of Windows Server 2012. So you'll see on the slides that I have here basically four different types of connections. We have the USB video connection, Direct Connect. We have the thin client, so it can be a repurposed old laptop that I think Carl will talk about that they have in the school in the Czech Republic there. Or it can be a traditional thin client running its own like Linux or Windows embedded OS to the server. And the way it differs, the way Multipoint differs from RDP, is the local stations that we talked about. We talked about, or I will show, the simplified admin. So when we first started off, we knew our target market. We had to make it easy so that this could be deployed in schools without an IT staff. So we try to make things very, very easy for people to understand and use. And lastly, we included some tools in terms of the teacher to be able to monitor and understand what's going on within the schools or within the classroom and monitor the students, control the students, and have the classroom working. I'll talk a little bit in detail now about your options here and how to do the local connect. And this is the main focus of Multipoint, and this is where you save the most money. The first option in there is what we call the Multipoint graphics card. So there's nothing special that you need to do with Multipoint in terms of graphics. Basically, if you have a computer that supports two monitors, you can get two stations of Multipoint up and running right out of the box. Just about any computer you buy today has at least a VGA and a DVI port. A very easy way to double the amount of students that have computers would be, instead of having two monitors hooked up with an extended desktop, buy a $5 or $10 USB hub, plug in a USB keyboard and mouse, and now you've doubled the amount of students using that one computer. That's the quickest, cheapest, and easy way to do that. What we see is a lot of customers want to have more than two stations. They want to have, a DL Classroom is 30. They'd love to have 30 running on a computer. That's quite difficult with the hardware that's out there today. And it's also difficult to do with graphics cards. But graphics cards are becoming more and more powerful, and we're seeing a kind of a change in the last probably year or so in terms of the capabilities of the graphics cards. Now, it's not uncommon to see graphics cards with three outputs, so they'll have a DVI, VGA, and either a DisplayPort or an HDMI. So now you often can get three stations up and running, and I think Carl mentioned some cards that he's looking at for his school that were quite interesting. On the show floor, what we have is we have a five-headed graphics card that came out probably about 6 or 7 months ago, and it was an incredible bargain. It cost $120. It had five outputs. Unfortunately, that company discontinued using them or making them, and we can't get them anymore. And we're trying to find out the reasons why, and we suspect it has something to do with just looking at the marketplace for graphics cards in general. Once you start getting into the four or five-headed systems, they tend to be targeted for people like Wall Street traders, gamers, and they charge $400 or $500 for those. And while you can get some savings if you use that type of card, it's not nearly quite the same because the card itself is a $500 card, and it's obviously you save a lot more money if you're paying like $30 or $40 a station for those graphics cards. You also have an issue when you go the graphics card route is the capabilities of the computer. So a lot of computers have only one PCI slot, PCI 16 slot for that graphics card. So you might be just limited to three. Many motherboards today support two graphics cards, so it should be quite easy with pretty much stock run-of-the-mill to get four or six if you use a two-headed or three-headed card. One or two things to keep in mind. We've seen some issues where people try to go to six, and the cards themselves, a lot of them have huge heat sinks and fans. And even though there's two slots on the motherboard, they can't physically fit those two cards into that slot. So you need to be careful when you're building out your system to make sure that there's the physical room for those cards. And also, if it's a card that requires power, that you have the auxiliary video power to those cards. And there is a practical limit in terms of what you can do in terms of the number of stations with these, because you would be running from that computer the VGA, DVI, or whatever type of signal out to those monitors, and it becomes kind of a rat's nest of cables if you try to get more than, I'd say, 10 monitors hooked up off that single computer using graphics cards. The next thing, and I'll have two of these that I'll keep up front. We have a lot of different ones down on the show floor from a variety of manufacturers, are Xero clients. And these are different than the traditional thin client that you might have heard about with RDP. So these do not run an OS. The way these things work, it's just a USB connection from the device back to the actual computer. And what they do is they have a driver that works in conjunction with the video driver on the host computer, and it tricks it into thinking that you have an extra monitor. And what that driver does is it takes whatever commands that were going to be driven to and sent to that fake monitor that it fooled the driver into thinking of. It shuttles it across the USB signal to this device where there's some memory in here, and they have a digital to analog converter, and they send the VGA signal out. These things are a great way to go and quickly add new computer or new stations to your computer for a relatively low cost. They're probably about $70 to $100, so they're quite a bit cheaper than thin clients. You also save a little bit from a cabling point of view, in the sense that instead of having both a video signal and a USB cable going back to the computer, you have only one cable here, which is that USB cable from the device back to the station, and then you plug your keyboard and mouse into this Xero client. So lots of kind of interesting advantages that these Xero clients bring. What's new to the market, Okay, the question was how many meters and how long can you have it? Basically, the USB standard says that you're allowed to have a cable up to 5 meters. Okay, so having 5 meters from this device back to the computer is fully supported. Furthermore, the standard says that you can chain up to 5 USB devices together. So in theory, you could go 25 meters away. Now, in practice, we have seen issues when people try to go beyond 3, and I wouldn't recommend chaining more than 3 together. What we've also seen is USB extenders, where in theory you can go, and there's a variety of third parties. I think some third parties will let you go up to 25 meters with just one cable, and I believe they have some kind of amplification thing that they do to extend that. If you find yourself that you need to go more than 5 meters, chaining them is a quick and easy way to get, let's say, to 10 meters, which I think meets most people's needs, especially when you think of a typical classroom where you have a computer and then a bench or a circle setup where there's a computer in the middle and the students are around. But it is a great question, because we have been seeing a lot of people wanting to go further than that. And what they've now come up with is the USB LAN Xero clients. And these are still running USB technology, except they install what they call a USB server on the actual multipoint system. And then instead of having a USB connection from the device, it actually is an Ethernet connection back to the computer. But the protocol and everything is going back USB. So from a multipoint perspective, the multipoint server thinks that there is a USB keyboard and mouse plugged into the end of that. And they have this translation layer that basically allows them to take this fake USB port on the multipoint server that they created, extend it across the Ethernet to this device that got a MAC address through, you know, DHCP. And when you plug in that keyboard and mouse at that remote station, it goes through the layers of software, and we get a signal on the multipoint that says, oh, a USB keyboard and mouse has been plugged into that device. So they're just coming out. I think they add probably $5 to $10 to the cost of those devices, but it gets rid of that the USB cabling, and I know a lot of people like to go with the familiar Ethernet-type connections. I won't spend a lot of time talking about LAN clients, so any of the thin clients that most of you are probably familiar with, they work with multipoint, so if you have those, they can work. One thing I will mention, we're seeing a lot of schools, they have old donated hardware, so the computers might be 8 or 10 years old. They're very, very slow. You can breathe new life into them by installing a thin PC on there, so it's a free download from Microsoft for certain people who have SA. And what that does is it allows those old PCs to make an RDP connection to the multipoint server, and then you know, they get better performance, they get the new Win 7 or Win 8 experience. And Carol, do you use, yeah, they use some of that in the Czech Republic. So Carol will talk a little bit about that. And lastly, I'll mention the network monitors that we're seeing come out. The concept behind that is instead of having one of those devices sitting off on the side, that USB zero client is built directly into the monitor. So it's just kind of a nice way to have a one system set up. We see a lot of people who take those. They often have VESA mounts, and they'll mount them directly on the monitor. But it's just a nice option to have it integrated directly into the monitor. So with that, I'm going to quickly show you Carol's installation here, so you'll get an idea of what he's going to talk about at the end of the presentation.
Our school is in Litoměřice city. It's the city about 40 or 50 kilometers northern of Prague. It's a beautiful town, great people here, and I like it so much. We are the gymnasium, and that means that we have students from 15 to 19 years old. Different students with different interests are able to study in our school.
Když jsem začínal se soukromou školou, zjišťoval jsem si v evidenci všech soukromých škol, jaké obory jsou nedostatkové v tomto regionu. Začínali jsme kadeřnicí, obor kadeřní pro děvčata, o které byl zájem, a tady v okrese vůbec nebyly kadeřnice. A potom také jsme začínali automechanika, který také byl potřebný a chlapce nejvíc lákal. To bylo první období. Potom jsme neustále rozšiřovali nabídku, rozšířili jsme o krejčí, dál kuchař číšník také jsme měli, prodavač, aranžér, truhlář, ten běží do dneška, a další obory.
We are proud to be the first school in Czech Republic who deployed Windows Multipoint Server 2010 solution and 2011 as well. We decided to deploy it because it helped us to do things faster, to save us a lot of money and provide a new education way for teachers and for students.
Hodina je více baví, protože se eliminovala možnost, kdy já třeba vykládám nějakou látku a oni většinou byli na jiných stránkách, většinou prostě hledali něco jiného než to, co měli, a já jsem neměla možnost je sledovat.
The teachers are working with the multipoint manager. They are able to see the desktop thumbnails. Also, the teacher is able to limit the access to selected websites.
Učitel mě u toho nachytal a teď už vlastně nemůžu chodit na ty stránky díky tomu novému multipointu. Víc dělám spíš to, co se má.
Takže tak učitel nás můžou kontrolovat a my musíme se soustředit na to, co máme dělat. Takže předtím jsme mohli chodit na naše stránky, kam jsme chtěli, a teď musíme chodit na ty samé. A to nám pomáhá v tom, aby jsme se dál vzdělávali.
We are also able to use our old computers. It's not necessary to throw them out or to buy a new one. We use the multipoint solution in an old computer lab. It's full of 7 years old computers. And with multipoint, we are able to provide the students the Windows 7 desktop experience and the Office 2010. When we purchased Office 2010, we deployed it on a multipoint server and it runs flawlessly on even on the old hardware, and it was instantly available to all the stations.
Hardware i software je velmi drahý u nás, proto jsme rádi, že peníze, které ušetříme tím, že máme spolupráci s Microsoftem, že můžeme věnovat na další vybavení školy, na pomůcky a nábytek a podobně.
If the school had deployed traditional computers, it would have cost up to 160,000 crowns. By deploying multipoint server, the school got 10 stations and one server for about 40,000 Czech crowns, which is $2,200. A cost saving of up to $7,000. With this solution deployed in the language lab, we will reduce our yearly power cost by almost 18,000 Czech crowns, which is nearly $1,000.
Takže Multipoint 2011 mi přinesl obohacení výuky, přinesl mi možnosti, kdy můžu svoji stránku nebo i svoje materiály promítnout studentům a oni s nimi můžou okamžitě začít pracovat. Přineslo mi to i možnosti, kdy můžu je zablokovat a oni prostě dávají pozor, můžu jim napsat jakýkoliv vzkaz na ty počítače. A myslím si, že je to úplně úžasná věc.
The new features help teachers to do what they love, teaching, not wasting time. Teachers are able to cooperate and communicate with the students all the time, so it really helps us with everything.
So Carol will talk a little bit about his installation and the tips and tricks towards the end of the presentation. So what I'm going to try to do here now is rather than talk to Slideware, I always think it's a little bit more interesting if I try to demo on a live system. So I'm going to be taking a bit of a risk here. Not only have we not yet gone to beta yet, I'm connecting to a multipoint system on the show floor that I'm hoping no one has messed with, and we'll see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, I'll just switch back to my slides, but hopefully I will be able to give you an idea of what 2012 looks like. I'll try to call out some of the differences between 2012 and 2011. I think I saw one or two hands up of people who were familiar with 2011. And I'll give you a feel of the tools now that are part of the server. So I talked earlier about how things work and the kind of the cost savings. Now this will give you an idea of what the teacher will see, and I'll spend a little bit of time, since you guys are IT people, on what the management console looks like. So the first thing that you'll see here is what we call the dashboard. And this allows the teacher to go and see a thumbnail of what's going on all of the stations within his or her classroom. And one of the key changes that we did in 2012 versus 2011 was initially the dashboard was part of what we called the multipoint manager. So we had one program that was designed, and the teacher could go and do their classroom management. And also the IT pro can go and add, remove computers. And we found two problems. One, the teachers got confused by all the kind of the geeky computer stuff. But the bigger problem was that a lot of schools, especially in the developed markets where they have an IT staff and it's not just the teacher being the person doing things, they said, there's no way we're going to let a teacher be an admin on the computer, because as soon as I do that, They're going to install something they shouldn't. They're going to put a virus in and, you know, just mess things up. So with 2012, one of the big changes that we've done is we now have this separate dashboard. It allows the teacher console to run as a standard user. They don't need to have admin privileges, so that's solved. And furthermore, we found in our usability studies, the teachers like this type of layout better because they're just looking at the classroom stuff. We've gone to a more familiar ribbon type experience. I'll just quickly show you some of the stuff that you can do. Find my mouse here. The number one thing that kids or the teachers do is block the desktops. So as you'll see there, I click block. Now on each one of those stations that are on the show floor, their keyboard is going to be locked. It's going to say the station's blocked. As a teacher, I can take control of the class, you know, eyes to the front. I'm going to be telling you, you know, what you need to do or, you know, stop using the computer. The test is finished. This is kind of the number one thing that teachers do to get control of the class. One of the things that we also hear, especially in the developed markets, is the internet is vital to learning today. So what we've added in MultiPoint is a way to configure which sites that you can go to. So with 2011, we allowed you to specify kind of a white list of allowed lists. So a lot of initial research that we did said that teachers know that kids should only go to, let's say, three sites, Wikipedia, maybe there's a classroom learning thing that's that they have, and maybe you know, PBS.org or some kind of safe thing for children that has, you know, today's lesson topic. So the teacher could go and put in those allowed sites, and if they were using Internet Explorer, they were limited to only those sites. What we've done in 2012 is we've improved this dramatically. Instead of just having the web limiting to IE, we now web limit at a much lower level. So all browsers are going to be supported, Chrome, Firefox, what have you. They're all blocked. But it was kind of an interesting thing, and I think this kind of reflects the times, is that teacher said, you know, I really want my kids to be able to go everywhere except one or two sites. And the one or two sites that always kept on coming up was Facebook and YouTube. So now we've kind of allowed a block list where you can go and just put in the sites that you don't want them to go to. And then if the kids browse to those sites, they're going to be denied access. Get that off. So now, if you just have a quick look at the thumbnails, and I'll bring a thumbnail up, I'm able to enlarge it, see what's going on that thumbnail. And it's a little hard to demo with just this one screen where you don't see the remote stations. But a key thing that teachers want to do is they want to be able to guide their classroom. So we allow you to project. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to project my desktop now to all stations out there. So what's going to happen now is that all of the kids on those stations should be seeing what I'm projecting. So this is my desktop. It says this is the teacher. If I go back now here to the thumbnails, on all those stations that are out there, they're seeing this is the teacher. And of course, now that I brought the desktop back, the thumbnails changed back to the program that I have, and now they're seeing the actual dashboard. But hopefully you saw that this is the teacher there, shown there for a second. Furthermore, a lot of times teachers find that students, there might be a student who did a great report and they want to be able to share that with the classroom. You're able to select your thumbnails, and what you can do is you can select a thumbnail from a particular student and you can go and launch that one particular station so that all the stations can go and see what that child has done. One thing that comes up a lot, and I will call out, the projection is meant for relatively static screens. So projecting PowerPoint, projecting stuff kind of like productivity apps, it's perfect for that. It's not suited for projecting video. So if you wanted to go, we've had you know, one or two classrooms who wanted to have this so that they could show a movie to the whole classroom. As soon as you're doing that, the amount of changes on that video screen, trying to project a movie to all of those stations that's connected, that's not going to work very well. You're going to run into performance problems. But for desktop applications, normal work, it works pretty good. We also have the concept of launching applications. So what I'll do here is I'm going to launch Calculator. And I'll select OK here. And hopefully in a second, you'll see that Calculator has launched. It's kind of hard to see unless I enlarge it. But you can see that on that selected desktop now, Calculator is running. And this is probably not that interesting for classrooms that have older students. We talk to a lot of teachers in the elementary school. Let's say maybe they're 6 or 7 years old. You can imagine if you're a teacher with 30 kids trying to get them to start Paint or whatever application they need to have, it takes 15 minutes for the kids just to go and launch the programs and have everything up and running. This is a great way for teachers to basically get things prepared, get all the kids on task, and get things up and running. Likewise, you're able to close applications. So as a teacher, you can see that I have two things running. It's brought up the calculator and the notepad. If I select calculator here, I'm able to remotely close that application and have that application disappear. And there it is. It's gone. One of the new features that we've added in 2012 is instant messaging or chat. We had a lot of feedback where every classroom has a shy kid who doesn't want to raise their hand. They don't want to talk to the teacher. They wanted to have a way to have this private channel communication between the stations and the teachers. So with this, we allow you to send IM. You can also right-click. And with that, as a teacher here, I can put a message. I'll hit send. And what should happen is that you'll see there that that message has now come and has shown up on that child's station. So that's a great way to have the private communication channel between them. Take Control is another new feature that we've added in 2012. So not only can you project what you're doing to the child, if you're seeing that someone is having issues doing something and you want to get that child on task, I'm going to select this workstation here, and I'm actually going to take control of it remotely. And now, as a teacher, I can go and do what I'm supposed to do. I'll select a big brush size, and I'll get some color in here to hopefully get this up. And if I close this off, what you'll see now is that on that student's desktop that I was working on, I've actually went and did what they needed to do, and now the student has that those red lines that I drew on that desktop, and hopefully the child is back on task. So that's an idea of the dashboard and what the teacher sees. I'll just close that off. And now I'll go to what we call the multipoint manager. And multipoint manager allows you to basically set the system up with a relatively low IT skills. So on this home page that I have here, you'll see there's only one multipoint server that's in this configuration. Typical classroom has probably 20 to 30 kids. The way that you handle this with multipoint is that you can just go and add, remove computers, and then on that dashboard that I was showing you, you will see all of the stations across all the multipoint computers. So if you have, let's say, 30 kids in there, you would probably do a setup with, let's say, 10 stations per multipoint server, and then as a teacher, you still have one console seeing everything that's going on within the class. We have a lot of basic things that I won't go into detail in terms of server settings and restarting and stopping computers. But one thing I'll call out, which is a great new feature that we've been getting a lot of feedback on in 2012 that people are excited about, is something that we call disk protection. A lot of people probably heard of the Microsoft product called Steady State. It was something that we released for earlier versions of Windows, particularly for kind of internet kiosks. And the idea behind that is that any changes that are done to a computer system are written to a cache. And then at the next reboot, that system comes up, that cache is flushed, and it's a virgin system. So all those changes that were made are completely lost. And this is a great way to ensure that your computers don't get messed up. I'm sure Carol can attest to this, is that if there's a way that kids can get viruses and stuff onto computers, they'll figure out a way to do it. With this disk protection, you turn it on, you can reboot your computers every day. They'll always start at that fresh, virgin state when they boot up. And that's just absolutely huge for our emerging markets, where they don't have IT people. They just do a setup, and then no one comes back to the school again for 6 months. And sometimes what will happen is that the computer will sit in the classroom and it won't be used, just because somehow it got messed up and they just didn't have the IT skills to fix it and get it working again. So the disk protection is a great new feature coming in 2012. I won't talk too much about the other tabs here. You get a quick view of the stations that are connected, how they're connected, whether there's hubs and keyboards and mice missing. User management, pretty straightforward. It allows the non-skilled person to quickly create user accounts if they want to have local accounts on the WMS server. A lot of times, probably more so here in the European market, you'd be joining into a domain. Multipoint fully supports that. You would just have your domain users and you wouldn't use that tab. And finally, we have virtual desktops. And the idea behind virtual desktops is we wanted to make it very easy to go and have VMs set up and have those stations associated, instead of having a local session, to actually be talking to a VM. And the reason why we're interested in doing this is that with the current technology, it's all based on RDP, there's probably 5 to 10% applications that don't work well with RDP. And unfortunately, in the education market, it's probably higher. They have a lot of old 16-bit type applications that don't run well under RDP. However, they run great in a virtual machine. So what we've done in 2012 is allow you to associate those stations to a VM, and we wanted to do it in a way that you didn't need to be an IT pro to go and get that set up. And we think it's going to solve app compat problems that have prevented some people going to multipoint when they couldn't run their favorite or needed education application within multipoint. So I'll quickly go through that and give you an idea of how that looks. I won't go through it in detail because it requires reboots and stuff, but I have some slides that will give you a feel of what the flow is going to look like. So we talked about the dashboard, I showed you the manager, and now what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about how to get these VMs set up. So on that virtual desktops tab that I showed you on 2012, when you come to it the first time, you're going to see a way to turn on your desktop role. So you're going to want to do that. And if I click on that, you're going to get a warning. It'll say, I'm going to turn on virtual desktops. We don't have it on by default because there's probably a 5 or 10% tax that's going to be in place when you're turning on Hyper-V. Once you do that, the machine's going to grind away. It's going to reboot, and at the end of that, the Hyper-V role is going to be set up, and you're going to be looking now, when you go back to the virtual desktop tab, to a couple more options. And the first option that you have that you're going to see there is to create your desktop template. The idea behind this is that you are going to create a master VM that all the stations are going to be cloned off of. And if I select create the virtual desktop, I just need to supply a username for the account that's going to be the administrator on that. It's going to ask where I'm going to get that image from. So with WMS, we make it really simple. You can just stick in your Win7 or Win8 DVD. We're going to create the VM straight off of that. Hit select. The task is running. And after a couple minutes, you're going to have a message that it completed successfully. And you'll see now that there's a new VM there. It's called with a dash T for template. And now I have a couple more options. And one of the main options that you're going to see there is customize the virtual desktop template. So what I would do at that point is I would start that VM up. And this part is not shown in the slides, but the idea would be I would click on this, customize it. I would install Office. I would install Adobe Flash. I would install all the education software that I want to be running on each one of those stations. And then once I've created that template to be in the manner that I want to have, what I would just do is I would click the Create Station Virtual Desktop. And then what it will do is it will create a VM for each one of those stations based off of that master virtual machine that I just created. So it'll be running, and at the end of it, you'll see that I have, in this case, it looks like there's five VMs that were set up for this five VM system. And what I show here is in the lab where we did this setup. These were all local sessions, RDP sessions, and at the end of it, they're all running, in this case, Win8 VMs. So we talked about the simple VDI in a box. It should get you up and running really quickly. You're able to go from a DVD to create the stuff. You're able to quickly map those VMs with just a few clicks of the mouse. You don't need to be an IT pro to do this. One of the things that comes up a lot is system requirements. I think there's two main things to call out here. It's a pretty detailed chart here. So I won't talk too much to it other than saying the two key things that you need to do is you need to understand what the workload is that the students are doing, and then obviously the size of the hardware that you have. And I recommend that you build out a test system and test the load that the students are going to be using. A rough rule of thumb that we've been seeing, kind of the sweet spot, has been probably about six or seven stations for kind of a mid-range PC. If you have a Core i7, I think running up to 10 has been pretty straightforward. And especially if the kids are just doing office productivity apps, you can get up to 20. And that's what the limit is. And on Multipoint, we do have a hard limit of 20 stations. We haven't have the final requirements for the VMs, if you're going to be matching to VMs. Sorry? The question was that, is it licensing or a physical limit? Right now, it is a hard-coded limit within the software to limit to 20. We are considering moving that up as the hardware gets more powerful. I think, from a cost-saving point of view, the typical non-server class hardware where people go to the multipoint solution, you're not going to want to go to 20. As hardware advances, obviously, the limits are going to move up. But right now, you can't go more than 20. And I should have mentioned the memory. It's mainly the CPU that gets bottlenecked. Memory about 500 meg per user tends to be sufficient. As soon as we go to VMs, we're looking at probably about 2 gig per VM is what we're thinking. And the number of stations that you can be running is going to go down as well. So when I said you could have 10 on a kind of a low-end i7, if you're running VMs, you probably would get at most 8 if it's multi-core. You probably want to have 1 VM per core. And this is all preliminary. It's all based on server 8, which hasn't been released. And as we're doing our testing, we're figuring out exactly what the actual scaling and requirements are going to be. So with that, I'll turn it over to Carol, and he'll talk briefly about his experiences with Multipoint.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. So my name is Carol. I'm from Czech Republic, and we are the first school in Czech Republic where the Multipoint solution has been deployed. And we deployed that solution in our language language classroom. The reasons are simple. The power consumption, savings on power consumption, you know, the low noise in the classroom, in the language classroom, which is very important for education, the ability to do domain join, because we have, of course, the domain controllers with the student accounts, and we want to use the same accounts in our multi-point labs. So we just did a domain join, and all the student accounts are available at the multi-point lab as well. You can use our group policies, shared folder, everything. Right now, we have three multi-point labs in our school. The first one is with HP devices and HP workstation Z200. And we are also using the direct connect station as well with AMD graphic cards. The second one is new HP devices, HP T200, which is Ethernet based, so there is no limitation up to 5 meters. And we also have a lab with the 10 years old stations, which is working very well right now. But you know, there's a small amount of operating memory, so we decided to put them as a stations for the Windows multipoint server. And right now, I'm able to have a Windows 7 desktop and Office 2010 on these stations, even with a small amount of operating memory. So it's a few benefits of the deployment the multipoint solution. These are. Excuse me. Operating system, we have the Windows XP, but as Mike said, you can, if you have an SA or depending on your licensing, you can download the Windows 10 PC and you can use it for the. You need every operating system with the RDP protocol or supported RDP protocol. Yes. Yeah. In the last option, you are not saving with the power consumption, but you are saving that you don't need to buy the new hardware, and you have the management capabilities as well. Yeah.
Can I use RDP8 with all machines?
The question was, can you use RDP8 protocol? And yet, the answer is. On the old machine, can you use the RDP8 protocol? Yes, and the answer is yes. Pardon me?
Because RDP8 should be at least
1 to 7. Yes, and there are ways that you can download on the old PC. There's a thing called a thin PC that Microsoft does that supports the RDP8 and the new protocol. So if you, on the old machine, if you can go and run the RDP8 protocol on that old machine, on the client, that's what would be the preferred way to talk to the server, because the server is all based on 2012 and has the latest protocols. So if you can get RDP8 on the old client, it should work. There is something called a thin PC. And afterwards, if I get an internet connection, I can see if I can find the details on that. But it is a download. It's a thin client that is downloadable from Microsoft. Thin PC.
Thin PC,
yeah.
Okay, thanks. There's a few pictures of our school before the multipoint deployment. So it was our language labs. Now it's looking like this one. So as you see, every student has its own station. You can see the HP devices at the back of the screens. And there's another pictures of deployment like this one and this one. So this is the first multipoint lab we had, as you already see that saw that on the case study. And let me introduce a few tips and tricks for deploying the multipoint solution. The first one is to download and read the planning and deployment guides properly, because there's a lot of interesting and important information you need to know. For example, I saw that a lot of you took the pictures of the minimal system requirements. It's already there, so you can download it and read it.
As Mike already said, usually the CPU is a bottleneck, so plan properly when you decided to buy the new server. Try to avoid the heavy usage of flash technology, especially in Czech Republic. There is a little bit problematic because a lot of education software is based on flash. But for example, for YouTube, you can switch to HTML5, so you can avoid using the flash as well. Try to use the speed hard drives, quick hard drives, because you know the older students, for example, 10 students are accessing the same drive with one reading and saving head, so it can be the problem as well. So you can use the SSD drive, for example, and it will helps a lot. You should keep in mind that there is a limit up to 20 stations in premium version, but the drivers also has its own limitations as well. For example, the HP devices have up to 14 stations. So you need to probably, if you want to have a classroom with 30 stations, you need to deploy two servers. And when you deploy two servers, you are able to connect them between each other. You are able to do the connection between each other, and you are able to manage the whole classroom, all the 30 computers from one management console. So, and that's another trick. Another one is that some devices are not able to work together, like the HP USB devices and HP Ethernet devices. So read the guides and installation notes properly as well. And the last one is that you can, as I said, you can do the domain join. So try to using the group policies, for example, for some security settings like hiding the system drive, because by default, when the students log it into the system, they are able to see the C drive with the Windows folder, etc. So you are able to do through the group policies hide the system drive and point them to another shell folder or something like that. So this is a few tips and tricks from me, and Mike will continue. Great.
So I wanted to leave a little bit of time at the end for questions. So there's one more thing that Carol had. I'll just quickly show this. It's just a quick 30-second video, but in the Czech Republic, I guess it's the old European work ethic here in terms of the tables that they have actually built in here. It's a pretty incredible multi-point setup. So I'll just quickly show you what they've done here. So in this setup here, they have, it looks like individual stations coming up, and the keyboard, mouse, everything has piped down in that table so that when it disappears, they have the desktop that's up and running. And then I think the next clip is going to show what they call a magic table. And we see a lot of this in the U.S., this type of setup, where there's a computer that's in the middle of the desk, and the monitors are all around, but they've kind of taken it one step further. So instead of having those monitors all the way around and having the computer sitting in the middle of the desk, it drops down in the table there and kind of hides it out of the way. So I thought that was something quite nice that they did in the Czech Republic. I'll let you read this. The main point that I want to get across here is that for the manager and the dashboard that we call the teacher stuff, the language is in white. That's what those are localized to. However, we support all the server language packs. So if, for instance, if you want to have the Czech version, you would be able to have all the students would be running in Czech. It's just that the dashboard and the multipoint manager would not be in the Czech language. Quick recap, what multipoint does is it gives you the local stations. You have the teacher control so that you're able to see what's going on. It's simplified so the non-IT pro is able to get things up and running. All of your stations are going to be Win7 or Win8 experience, depending if you're using the VDI solution. Two key features coming in 2012, the disk protection, so it gets your system back into a known good state. And lastly, the VDI, so the simplified VDI. In terms of where to go for more information, just look at the slide deck. We have a lot of social media sites on here listed. It is available right now for download through the Download Center. In terms of what to do and how to move forward, right now I would recommend getting the 2011 version. You can download it from Microsoft.com right now. If you have a spare computer that has a DVI and a VGA, it should be quite easy for you to get a two-station system up and running so you can start playing around, assuming that you have a USB hub. And then have a look on the Kinect site sometime in July. We'll make an official announcement of Windows Server 2012, and we will have the beta available. So I'd be happy to take any questions, and I ask you guys to remember to please fill out your evaluations. And thank you, everyone, for attending.
Thank you.
Thanks. So the question was, I showed that I was able to take over control of the actual station. So in 2011, what I can do is I can just project. So I can show what's on the teacher's desktop. I cannot actually go and take control and make the changes. Take control and make the changes is in 2012. Any other questions? Yeah, so the question was, since this is now available for people in small business and a lot of the features aren't available, is it stuff that you can go and switch off? And the answer to that is yes. Within the multipoint manager control, you can decide whether you're going to allow those stations actually to be monitored. In some cases, people want to have it. So for instance, call centers, a lot of times you might want to have someone see what's going on, but there's obviously situations where you don't want to have that happening. And then, of course, the other thing that you can do is just restrict who could run that dashboard or the multipoint manager, and that is another way to have it so that those features aren't used for small businesses. Another question? The question was, can I use it for 3D Max classes? That is one of the things where I would have to say you should test that application out. I'm not familiar with 3D Max. By the sounds of it, it sounds like it's going to be graphics intensive. So I think the number of users that you're going to be able to support is going to be less than desktops. I have heard of some people who have been using MultiPoint with AutoCAD, and it was working. And I don't know which version of AutoCAD, so I would say try 3D Max out and give it a shot. What is the perfect number of workstations per server? The question was, what's the perfect number of workstations per server? And as I mentioned, that is a very tough one to answer because it's really based on the hardware of your server and what the students are using. So we have seen in places like Africa where it's elementary school, where they have 8 stations running off a very low-end dual-core PC, and that works fine. If you tried to have all of those 8 kids go and run YouTube, that's going to be CPU bound, and it's not going to be a very good experience. So it's really just a combination of what is being done on the stations and the hardware. And I urge you, and I can't stress this enough, make sure that you test what your kids are doing. What we have been seeing, kind of the typical, is probably 6 to 8 is typical. I think Carol, in his class, you said it was 10 on one machine?
We started in our first multipoint lab with 10 stations and quad-core CPU and 6 gigabytes of operating memory. And we were forced to replace this main server with the Intel iCore i7 and 8 gigabytes of operating memory. You know, so It's really depending on what the students will be doing, but for the common school usage, I would recommend you about 8 gigabytes of operating memory and Intel iCore i5 or i7 for 8 or 10 stations. But it's depending, you know.
Another question over there. So the question was for licensing, can I use it with any type of school? And the answer to that is yes. And as I mentioned at the start, MultiPoint is now available for everyone. So it's not restricted to the education market. When we first came out with 2010, you needed to be in the education market. With 2011, it's available for anyone. So certainly any type of school, even small businesses can use it. Yeah. And from a licensing point of view, it's a server license and then a CAL, so a client access license for each station. And the revenue model or the licensing model is that we try to be neutral in terms of the cost. So if you had, let's say, 5 PCs running 5 copies of Windows, the cost of those Windows licenses should be roughly equal to what it would cost if you bought 1 server and 5 WMS CALs. It should be equivalent, roughly. Another question. Can the students use their own USB flash memory? And the answer to that is yes, and I should have mentioned that. On each station that we have, as I said, it's USB based. So if you're doing a direct connect, you have your USB keyboard and mouse plugged into a USB hub. If you're using one of these Xero clients, most of them have a spare USB port. And then what happens is that any USB flash drive that you plug into this station hub is private to that one station. If you would take that USB drive and plug it into the main computer, then it would be public to everybody. And what we see a lot of schools do is that the kids, they basically take their homework, they take their assignment on the USB flashes, on the USB things. They don't save anything on the main computer. It's locked down. Or they might be using a group policy to have a student stuff done on a network share. But both are supported and work well with MultiPoint. Another question. The question is about thin PC. What is the licensing? And I'm actually on the technical side. I'm not within marketing. My understanding, and Carol might know since he's a customer who's using this, if you are under what I believe is called SA for software assurance, it is a free download. So depending on the type of licenses that you have with Microsoft, it is available for download for no cost, is my understanding.
That's the old one, yeah.
So, and I'll repeat that for people who might be listening, was that the old name was, could you repeat that?
Windows for Legacy.
It was Windows for Legacy, and the new name is Thin PC, and it was confirmed by someone who has done downloaded it. If you're under software assurance, you're able to get that for free. Okay.
Windows 10 PC is based on Windows 7.
Yeah. Any more questions? Well, thank you once again. And we are down on the show floor, so if you have further questions, you want to look at different devices, please come down and see us at the expo.
We are coming down right now. And can we get a second session? Okay, thank you.
Great. Thanks.